Let's take our Bibles, please. Grab your Bible. And this week we want to continue to look into this topic of listening to God's Spirit. We started a little bit last week, and we want to continue because I want to answer questions. What does it mean to listen to the Spirit of God and to listen to God? The memory verse talks about as a deer pants for flowing streams, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. It brings up the soul. But what we want to do this morning is we want to go back, we want to talk about the spirit and the soul and the body of the person. And so what voices, and by way of an introduction this morning, I want to ask the question, what voices are you listening to? This is from the Daily Bread from March 9th. And Kirsten Holmberg writes about her two children. And this is what she says. My second child was eager to sleep in a big girl bed in her sister's room. Each night I tucked Britta under the covers. This is the younger one. Issuing strict instructions to stay in bed, warning her I'd return her to the crib if she didn't. So you get out of bed, you have to go back in your crib. Night after night, I found her in the hallway and had to escort my discouraged darling back to her crib. Years later, I learned her customarily sweet older sister wasn't excited about having a roommate and repeatedly told Britta that she'd heard me calling for her. Britta would heed her sister's words, would go to look for me, and then landed herself back in the crib. Listening to the wrong voice can have consequences for us all. Isn't that a great story? I love true stories. So this is where we're at this morning. We need to learn to listen to God's Spirit. But how do we know we're listening to the Holy Spirit? How do we know we're not listening to the voices of culture? How do we know we're not listening to the voice of our own personal desire? How do we know we're not listening to the wrong voices? That's what we want to do. So turn with me, please, to Psalm 42. And we haven't done this for a while, but we're going to do the upward, downward, inward, outward approach to prayer. And I want you, I'm going to read this, and I want you to take notes in your Bible. And when something is focused on who God is, that is upward. And what we're trying to develop in our church is this idea of moving away from a grocery list of prayer. And we all know what I mean by that. So if I say, hey, let's spend some time in prayer, naturally our first thing that we're taught is to say, oh, we need a list of prayer requests. And then we start saying, well, I've got a bunion, and a person I work with, they've got a slight cold. And then someone else says, oh, I'm going on vacation to Florida, and then I'm going on a cruise, at which point I'm thinking, I'm not praying for that. But this is what we've been taught, and yet Jesus gave us the model for prayer in Matthew 6, where he says our focus in prayer should begin by being upward. Who is God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then downward, thy kingdom come. Do we pray? Do we look in Scripture for ways for God's will to be accomplished? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we have the inward. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. In other words, when we focus on praying for ourselves, do we always pray for the outward? I need a car, I need a job, I need to feel better, I need this. Or do we actually pray inwardly for spiritual change? Give us this day our daily bread is a physical need, but deliver me from temptation. How often do we pray inwardly for true spiritual change? And then there's the outward. And where Jesus says that forgive those who trespass against us. And do we pray for other people from a spiritual perspective? So as we read through Psalm 42, because I'm going to springboard off of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 this morning, I want you to take notes. Do you find something upward? Do you find something downward? Do you find something inward? Do you find something outward? And even if you don't fully comprehend it yet, just start to look for items in Psalm 42 and 43 that you can pray. So as a deer, Psalm 42 verse 1 begins, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's an inward. That's me saying, God, that's how I want to be. I want to hunger and thirst for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, I took that last part of a verse as a prayer request years ago, and I said, God, I want to look forward to going to church. I want Sunday morning to be my favorite time of the week. I never want to show up at church not wanting to be here. Because that's what the psalmist says. When shall I come? I can't wait to come to the temple and appear before God, he says. Then he talks more inwardly. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Now notice this. We're going to build on this verse. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Why so downcast, O my soul? The psalmist says, put your hope in God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In other words, from the utter depths of his soul in his pain, he calls out to God, knowing the depth of God's love and mercy. Deep cries out to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. So that would be an upward, talking about God, and also in some ways a downward, because God is a God of what kind of love? Steadfast love. But also, wouldn't you like to see that in your life? That's a downward. God, I'd like to see your steadfast love shown in my life. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Notice again the repetition. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. That's Psalm 42 and 43. There's so much upward. Who is God? He's a rock. He's a God of steadfast love. We're told here that he is the one who can lift us up. Downward, the psalmist is praying, God, deliver me. God, show me your power. Show me your change. But when we talk about listening to the Holy Spirit, what I want to do, based on verse 5, verse 11, and then verse 5 of Psalm 43, the thing I want to get across this morning, the nail I would like to pound, is this. If you really want to grow spiritually, Spiritual growth is the result of the conversations that you need to have throughout your lifetime. If you really want to grow spiritually, you need to have three main conversations. And you need to do this throughout your life. And these conversations, first of all, these conversations are number one. Here's the first one. Your conversations with the Holy Spirit. You need to learn how to listen and commune with the Holy Spirit. Every person is made up of three components. You have a body, obviously, you are a physical person, but you also have a spirit and you have a soul. Your spirit is that part of you which, when you receive Christ, is born again. Your spirit is that part of you that is regenerated. Your spirit is made up of your conscience. And so as the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, you need to allow it to change your view of life. And so when we say your conversations with the Holy Spirit, what does Scripture have to say about that? Well, first of all, look at this. John chapter 3, verse 6. After saying in verse 3, you must be born again, notice what Jesus says. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. However, that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Now, we kind of have to go against a cultural thing. So let's stop for a sec. When you die, what instrument will you be playing according to culture? Harp. Bingo. And where will you be living once you die? On a cloud. No, you will not, when you die, be playing a harp on a cloud. Okay? Want another big one? According to 2 Corinthians 11, Satan is A, always dressed in red with horns and a pitchfork, or B, the most beautiful angel ever created. B. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11:5 says that he masquerades as an angel of light. We're told in Scripture that he was the most beautiful of all God's created angels. But culture, see, culture wants you to think that when you die, you'll be an angel. No, you won't. On a cloud. No, you won't. With a harp. No, I won't. Culture wants you to think that there's either no devil, or any time that Satan is portrayed, he's always portrayed in an evil way. No. You ready for the third one? You have a soul. That's all. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says that you have a spirit and a soul. The spirit is the part of you that is born again, regenerated by God. This is why 1 Thessalonians says that may God sanctify you in your body, soul, and spirit. And here, in John chapter 3, verse 6, he simply says that when you are born again, the Spirit produces in you a new spirit. You are born again, born from above. God creates in you a new spirit, and this spirit is not dead. Notice this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, talking about you spirit, say it with me, not soul-ly, but spiritual-ly. Okay, I can do things to the English language that you wouldn't believe. But you want to grow how? Spiritually. And notice this. Before salvation, you were dead spiritually. You were walking around, but when you were born again, when you were given new life, you were given a regenerated, transformed spirit. You were dead. And so that's why we can have this warning in Scripture. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, that's demons, and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose what? Consciences are seared. The conscience is a function of your spirit. And when you turn yourself off to God, when you seek to rebel, the rebellion takes place in your spirit. And these false teachers had reached a point spiritually where the word seared literally means cauterized. And if you understand what it means to cauterize a wound, you basically have a large gaping wound, and you take a hot knife and you put it over the wound, and it sears the wound to stop it from bleeding, but it also does some destruction. This is what happened to their spirit. These false teachers were turned off from listening to God's voice, and they reached a point of spiritual hardness where their consciences were seared. Well, that's not what you want. When we say that you need to have conversations with the Holy Spirit, what I mean is this, is you need to learn to talk to God while you pray. You need to learn to do more than just, okay, God, I'm going to pray, and I want this and this, and I pray for this, and I pray for that. Thank you for this, thank you for that. You need to learn to have a conversation with God. This is why praying through Scripture is so important. I look through Psalm 42 and 43, and I see so much ammunition for prayer here. Where I should be spiritually, panting, hungering, thirsting for God in verses 1 or 2. I look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me, where is your God? I look at that as an opportunity to talk to God during times of difficulty, times of fear, times of loneliness, and just say, God, what is going on? Speak to me. Show me who you are. Notice what he says, these things I remember. In other words, I remember painful times, and I'm pouring out my soul to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me, to speak to my spirit. But then notice in verse 5, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember what? Notice in verse 4, you've got to look at this for a sec. In verse 4, his focus is on pain, on hurtful people. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. But he intentionally chooses in his time, spending time with the Holy Spirit, spending time in prayer, allowing the Spirit of God to speak to him. Notice where his focus goes. His focus goes from remembering pain to remembering who? My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember who? You. So many times in our prayer, we forget that we're talking to God, and we don't allow His Spirit to change our heart. We don't allow His Spirit to change the focus of our thoughts. To talk about God in our prayer time. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon. Over the last couple of years, my counseling load has increased dramatically. And it's very interesting because I seem to be getting a number of people coming to me for counseling from recommendations of other pastors. And I always laugh because people will contact me and say, I was talking to this person. Do you know them? Oh, yes, I know them. And I said, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. And they said, well, you should talk to Mike. And then I went to my pastor, and I said, Pastor, I'm looking at a situation, and I'm wondering, who do you think I should talk to? Well, you should talk to Mike. And it's hard to turn down counseling situations when people come to me and say, I spoke to three different people, and they all said I should come and talk to you. I wish they all turned out well. They don't, because I don't do hand patting, and I don't do backslapping. I do more... this is what's going on, and let's do some what's called rehabituation, which is called changing your habits and putting off the old man, putting on the new man. But one of the things that you do in counseling is help people get out of the rut of reliving the emotions of whatever they've gone through and getting them to put their focus on God. Why so cast down, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. But then he says this, therefore I remember you, verse 5, from the land of Jordan and Hermon. Do you think crossing the Jordan was a good time or a bad time in the life of Israel? Pretty good. Egypt defeated, crossing the Red Sea, then eventually with Joshua crossing the Jordan, going into the Promised Land. What about when they arrived at Mount Hermon? All through, if you look at the blessings that God gave the nation, the whole thing is this. One of the things I was taught very early was always help people to go back to a time when God was working in their lives. Do you remember when you first accepted Christ? Do you remember the joy you had? Do you remember the desire you had to come to church? Do you remember the desire you had to read the Bible, to get together with other people to study the Bible? Do you remember that you were just so willing to share your faith and to serve? Do you remember those days? You need to. And you need to thank God. In marriage, every marriage needs to take time to go back and say, this is when we were definitely, absolutely, positively doing great in our marriage. Now, this is a bunny trail, but my next question is always, and I'll pick on nobody right now, but if I was married to that person, I would say, when were you happiest in our marriage? Well, I remember when you used to take a day off, and the day off was devoted just to me. It wasn't, you know, doing chores, and it wasn't doing extra work at the church. But I remember when we would plan, and we would just spend the day together, and we'd go to the flea market, and we'd go to the farmer's market. And I remember when you used to surprise me with flowers, or you know, and what you get to do is you start to say, okay, what were the things? And this is what the psalmist is saying. Therefore, I remember. Do you remember when God was working in your life? Do you remember that time when spiritually you were doing great spiritually? What were you doing? Well, I was going to church every week. What are you doing now? Well, I miss church because I don't feel like getting out of bed. What about marriage? Well, you know, this Bay Area life is so busy. But what about when you were first married? Well, we just did this. And the psalmist is, what he's saying is, you can choose verse 4 where you constantly are remembering the bad, or you can choose verse 5 where you're constantly remembering the good. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And when you spend time, are you looking for things that the Holy Spirit can prompt you to remember? Your conversations with the Holy Spirit need to involve Scripture and then allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you through Scripture. Is there a command to obey? Is there something praiseworthy to thank God for? Is there a habit you need to change or correct? Is there a sin to forsake? Let God speak to you through His Word. That's the first conversation you need to have. Number two, this is now the next most important conversation, your soul's conversations with your spirit. Notice in verse 5, notice in verse 11, notice in verse 5 of Psalm 43 that David's spirit is speaking to his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? So David's spirit is influenced by the Holy Spirit. It fills his spirit with truth. It fills his spirit with the right things. And now this conversation is going from the spirit to the soul. You know you have conversations with yourself. I know you do. You need to let your spirit talk to your soul. What often happens is your spirit says to you, why are you so unhappy? Why are you feeling so tired all the time? That's your spirit speaking to your soul. Here, David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why is there so much turmoil in your life? And what he's saying here is, hey, you need to evaluate. The conversations that you have with your soul are the most important conversations you can have. Now be careful though, because your soul will talk back to your spirit. Mike, why are you discouraged? Well, our church isn't growing as fast as I thought it would grow. And my soul wrongfully says back to me, Mike, you're a failure. Mike, you're a bad pastor. Mike, you're a poor leader. But then my spirit says to me, remember that time when Jesus began to preach and talk about what it meant to truly follow him? And almost all of his followers did what? They left him. And do you remember when Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? And I thought about that. And then my spirit says, Mike, remember that time Elijah was doing the will of God and he was all alone on Mount Carmel? And do you remember, and do you remember, and do you remember? And what happens is that my soul, when it speaks to my spirit, tends to bring up half-truth. It brings up lies. You're not a good person. You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure. Do you ever feel like that? That's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, talking to your spirit. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit so that it can respond to your soul and say, no, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am where God wants me to be because I know I'm living in his will. And yes, I may be going through difficulty, but my spirit says to my soul, show me one person in Scripture that ever did anything great for God that didn't go through difficulty. See, these are the conversations that you have. Notice what it says here. Let's look at some Scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your emotions. And you need to, even though your spirit is born again, you need to have your mind, your will, your emotions transformed. You need to stop thinking like the world thinks. You need to get out of what one pastor called stinking thinking. You need to allow the Word of God to speak to your spirit through His Spirit, and then your spirit speaks to your soul. You need to be transformed in the renewal of your mind that you might know what God wants for you. Psalm 42, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? This is the Spirit speaking to the soul. Notice what the Spirit says to the soul that is downcast. Look at what the Spirit says to the mind, will, and emotions that have so much turmoil going on in their lives. Hope in God. Hope in God. He's your salvation. He's your God. He loves you. Notice this. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. You need to let the Holy Spirit talk to your spirit and teach your spirit to look for God and remember God and praise God so that you have a response for whenever your mind, will, emotions, whenever your soul begins to taunt you or tempt you to think that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love you, that you're not God's child. That's what God wants to do. Last one. My soul's conversations with others. We often forget we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We need to have conversations with ourselves. We need to let our spirit talk to our soul. But we need to have conversations with others. And we need to have good conversations. Let me give you some verses. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. When you make friends with an angry man, what's it say? Lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself. In the same way that your soul wants to give bad feedback to your spirit, the bad friends, an angry friend, can create anger in you. It's an effect, cause and effect. Notice this one. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. You just can't. You need the Word of God to transform you. You need the right relationships to encourage you. And so that's why we see this. The words of a whisperer. There's the angry person. They'll make you angry. Not good. There's bad company. they'll ruin your morals. Not good. And then we have the gossip, or the whisperer. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. I'm just sharing a prayer request. That's not. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. Notice where they go. They go down into the inner parts of the body. It ruins your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, you have to be very careful of the person that's willing to throw other people under the bus. You have to be willing to disassociate yourself from the person who always says it's someone else's fault. You have to be willing to disassociate yourself from the person who wants to make themselves look good by making others look bad. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. Notice this. Watch and pray, Jesus said, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed, what part of you is the spirit? That's the part of you that is reborn. That's the part that the Holy Spirit speaks to. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You need to constantly be on your guard against things that will influence your flesh, your sinful desires, your natural bent away from what the Spirit wants. Two verses I love. Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Jonathan was the king elect. However, he knew that his father was destroying the kingship. He knew that God had appointed David to be the new king, and yet he intentionally sought to love David and to befriend him. So Jonathan, Saul's son, when David was going through a terrible time, Saul was trying to kill him, Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. That's the kind of marriage I want. That's the kind of friendships I want. That's the kind of parent I want to be. That's the kind of friendship we should all crave. I want a friend who, when I am discouraged, strengthens my hand in God. In other words, they speak to my spirit good words. They appeal to my mind, my will, my emotions, and they say, trust in God. Keep doing what God wants. Do you know what's interesting is that David, and we'll call him a young believer, we'll call Jonathan a mature believer, but Jonathan showed David that during times of difficulty, when people are trying to destroy you, when people are saying things about you, find your hope in God. And notice, years later, when men were going to go against David because of a failed mission that they were on, notice this. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter, where? In soul. Isn't that interesting? David became distressed in his soul because the people wanted to stone him because they were bitter in soul. Each for his sons and daughters. See, they'd been kidnapped. And they didn't know what would happen. But David, notice this, Jonathan strengthened David. Years later, what does it say? But David strengthened who? Himself. Where are you at spiritually? This is a big key moment, because you have to ask yourself, am I still leaning on other people? Do I need to make sure that I lean on people in difficulty? Or am I growing to the point where I myself can strengthen myself in the Lord? Where I can go to the Word of God, and I've got verses like this morning. I hope that you've underlined some of Psalm 42 and 43. I hope maybe you turn over the page and you say, you know what, sometime this week when I'm discouraged, I'm going to go to Psalm 42 verse 5, and instead of being downcast and in turmoil, I'm going to put my hope in God. That's what you need to seek. David was greatly distressed. Well, where do we leave this? Here's some application I want to make. First of all, listen carefully, because I'll need to clarify this. Your soul and your spirit are two different things. Some of us, our souls are damaged by the fall. Our mind, our will, our emotions. Sometimes, because of birth defect, our soul is damaged. Our mind, our will, our emotions. Sometimes, because of fear, because of overwhelming anxiety, our mind, our will, our emotions become damaged. But our spirit, though, is protected and cherished by God. This is why, no matter who you are or what you've done, if you have accepted Christ, your spirit is born again. Your salvation is secure. So many times people come to me and say, well, Mike, can a child with trisomy 21, what do we call that normally? Down syndrome. Can a child with Down syndrome accept the Lord? Absolutely. They may not, their mind, their will, their emotions, they may have struggles. But let me tell you from firsthand experience, because in one of our churches we had a family that intentionally adopted children with Down syndrome. They are the most precious, godly, wonderful believers you've ever met. Why? Because it's the spirit that is born again. I've met adults years later who come to me and they say, Mike, my mind just isn't what it should be. I'm an emotional mess. I really struggle with doing the right things. I get angry. I get this. I'm just consumed. Does that mean I've lost my salvation? No. Because your spirit is the part of you that is born again, that is renewed, that is transformed, that is born again. That's the part of you that God changes, and it can't ever change. And so don't ever think that if you struggle emotionally, if you struggle with your mind, you struggle with your will, you struggle with your emotions, don't ever think that God doesn't love you or that you're not saved. It may mean that you need to do some habit changing. You may need to create some new habits. You may need to create some intentional practices, because these things amplify some of the struggles that we have. But that's okay. But let me also say this. Number two, you need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Can't stress that enough. You need to let the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit. You need to let your mind, will, and emotions come under the control of the Holy Spirit, under the control of your spirit. Now, sometimes, and this is, again, some counseling methodology, sometimes you need to let your actions change your emotions and your will. And what I mean by that, we'll close off with this. Mike, I don't like doing certain things. Well, you need to do them. Well, I don't like doing them. I don't like doing the dishes. I don't like making the bed. I don't like cleaning the house. I don't like washing the car. I don't like cutting the grass. Okay, those are all safe topics, right? Because nobody likes those. Okay. Well, here's what you do. Is you then have to choose, you have to change your will. If you want to see spiritual change in your life, what you do is you choose something you don't like to do. And then you say, I will do it. Now, it works for children. It also works for adults. The first thing you want to try is reward. I will go and buy my favorite treat, my favorite soft drink, my favorite dessert, whatever it is, and I will put it in the fridge. And I will not touch it until I do what? Cut the grass, wash the car, clean the house. So you try reward first. With children, it works great. The difference between a bribe and a reward is that you offer the reward beforehand. You say to the child, when we go to the store, if you don't have a temper tantrum, if you don't ask for anything, I will take you to McDonald's for ice cream after we go to the store. A bribe is when your child is laying on the floor in the checkout line yelling and screaming, and you start saying what? If you stop, I will take you to McDonald's. You see the difference? When you offer a reward, who has the power? You do. Because the minute the child disobeys, you simply take the cart over to the manager and say, I'm so sorry, but I have to leave now. And you take your child out of the store and you go home. Because going out to eat, going grocery shopping, going to the store is a parenting moment, first and foremost. You always use it. And you just go. And well, aren't we going to McDonald's? No. You disobeyed. We're going home. And there's, you know, that's it. However, when you use bribes, who has the power? And children are pretty smart. Pretty soon, how often are they having temper tantrums? All the time. Why? Well, I get what I want. So what you do is in your own life, you say, okay, I'm going to try rewards first. So I'm on this diet right now. I've told a lot of people. And my goal, I think I'm down 14 pounds. My goal is to lose another 20. But what I did is I went and bought these really expensive meals online. They're about $10 a meal, $10 or $12. And they're in the freezer. And whenever I feel tempted to cheat the diet, guess what I do? I reward myself. I'm big on reward. Hint, hint. So try. Say, Mike, I'll pay you if you go out to lunch with me. Okay, I'll do that. Or is that a bribe? I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, but the point is this. Try rewards. Try rewards. The other thing is this. If that doesn't work, then you need to start setting up truth and half-truth. But you need to start to get your will to change your emotions. The next step then is after reward works, after you start to work on why am I doing this, what lie am I following, the next thing you have to do then is you have to start to have praise. What joy do I get out of this? And you need to start to make it joyful. You need to say to yourself, I am doing this because it makes this person happy. I am doing this because this is the emotion. You want to start to foster the right emotions. But I'm going to stop here because I went way over time. But the point is this, you can change spiritually. Talk to me more. I hope I've opened a can of worms. But the thing is this, you need to let the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit. Your spirit needs to talk to your soul. And then you also need to watch which people are you allowing to influence your soul in your life. Let's pray.